Good afternoon to all of you. Certainly good to see everyone. I see that there are a number of visitors here as well. We've been in town visiting our family, especially Susan's mom, Mrs. Alice Graff. She's in the Rocky Knoll Nursing Home. She's 95, and she's still going along pretty well. And she does have short-term memory loss, so every now and then she'll come up with a wise statement and usually directed toward me. Can't figure out who I am at times, but still, it's been enjoyable. We showed her some pictures of some of you back years ago when we were here. We were here from 1977 to 1986. So that was 9 years that we were in the area. And so she did recognize, you could tell that she did recognize some of you through some of the pictures. Also want to mention about the special music as well. It seemed to be very appropriate for today. Well, earlier this year, the New York Post published an article about credit card debt that's more than $1 trillion in this country, and that more consumers are falling behind in their payments. Another article also said that most Americans do not have enough money in a savings account to cover the cost of a $500 emergency. People are living from paycheck to paycheck. They sometimes get to these bridge loans between paychecks. And the month now is becoming longer than the available money. Dealing with finances can be a very difficult problem that couples face in life, especially when there's more outgo than income. And so where in the world does one cut back in the budget? Unfortunately, in some situations, it's been in tithing. There was one man we knew years ago, a really fine member, and he started getting into debt, and started getting into debt quite a few thousand dollars, and he didn't know where else to turn, what else to do, so he stopped tithing. And so guess what happened to the debt? It went more and more thousands of dollars into debt. However, with us being Christians, that is one area that we are not to cut back on, especially with what we read over here in Malachi 3, verse 8 and 9. Let's look at Malachi 3, verse 8 and 9. It is not an unfamiliar scripture. I'm sure those of us who've been in the church for so long have heard this numerous times. Malachi 3, verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say," and here's the question, "in what way have we robbed you?" And God says, "in tithes and offerings." If we don't give God our tithe, we rob him. And so God says, "you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." And what we find here is both tithes and offerings are mentioned here. Now, this is a doctrine of God. It is a law. It is a command. I'm sure we all are aware of it. We teach this. We have taught this over the years. We believe the tithe is it is honorable. It belongs to God. It is not our money. And we're told here that offerings as well, as we do give on the holy days, which we just did during the seventh month of the year, the last four holy days, we gave offerings. And then we're planning to give offerings again on the first month of the sacred year coming in April of this coming year. So this is one area where we cannot cut back on. The question is, though, well, it is tough, it is difficult. Is there some hope that God gives to us when we tithe. Well, let's notice verse 10. God says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." God says, I'm giving you some hope here. I'm asking you to try me. I'm going to pour out for you such blessing. Most of us know about the doctrine of tithing. We know what the Bible has to say about it. And so what I'd like to do is focus in on this verse for the sermon this afternoon. The title is "The Blessings of Giving of Tithes and Offerings." Now, some have misinterpreted what verse 10 is saying. They add things that aren't there. For instance, God is not saying, if you tithe, that's like an insurance policy. I'm giving you an insurance policy against having any financial difficulties. It doesn't say that. God is not saying that we won't have any financial emergencies or obligations. But what does God say, though? "I'll pour out on you such blessing." So even then, what is God saying? What blessing? What blessing is God saying he will give? Some believe it's access to lots of money. You know, like we heard, these pipes of gold. Boy, it'd be nice to have a pipe of gold like that. They're not around that easily to buy or whatever. But the point is that does verse 10 say that? I'll give you a bunch of money. Oh, I'll give you no debt. You won't have any debt. No, Bible verse 10 doesn't say that. Just says that you will not have room enough to receive it. What does "it" stand for? When it says that there will not be room enough to receive it, it's the question. What is it? Some time ago, a member came to me and he was quite upset. He had tithed for years. And he said, "I've tithed and I've tithed and I've not been blessed. I've not been blessed according to what it says in Malachi 3, verse 10. I've not been blessed." Well, we spent some time discussing this particular verse and discussing where he was misunderstanding what verse 10 was bringing out. He had an inaccurate conclusion to what it meant about being blessed. The "it" is the blessing. So what we're going to do is look at this verse. Let's look at the first section where it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house." Now, there was within the temple a storehouse. It was a chamber that was located in the temple court, and we find a description of this over here in Nehemiah 12, verse 44. Let's go to Nehemiah 12. Verse 44. "At the same time, some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouse for the offerings, the first fruits, and the tithes. So there were rooms of the storehouse, and they were to contain the first fruits, the offerings, the tithes, to gather them from the fields of the cities of the portion specified by the law for the priests and the Levites, for Judah rejoiced over her priests and the Levites who ministered." So all these first fruits and offerings and tithes were brought to the temple. They were stored in those rooms. And that was there for the benefit of those who were serving in the temple, the priests and the Levites. Then let's look at this story when Nehemiah was not in Jerusalem. We read this in chapter 13, verse 4. Now, before this, Eliashib, the priest. So here you have a priest of God having authority over the storerooms of the house of our God, was allied with Tobiah. Now, what is a priest doing being allied with Tobiah? Well, you go back earlier into Nehemiah, and you find that Tobiah was an Ammonite. He wasn't Jewish. He wasn't Israelite. He was an Ammonite of the surrounding peoples there. And notice what he had done. Eliashib had prepared for him a large room where previously they had stored the grain offerings, the frankincense, the articles, the tithes of the grain, the new wine and the oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and singers and gatekeepers, and the offerings for the priests. So what Tobiah was allowed to do was to bring his household stuff, his household junk, and put it into a storage shed. And basically, there he was got the storage shed from the priest. Here, you could put your stuff in here, where it used to be for the tithes. Okay. Verse 6, we see that Nehemiah was not in Jerusalem, and then he came back into Jerusalem in verse 7, and he discovered the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. What are you doing bringing in your stuff into where it was supposed to be for the tithes? And it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw out all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. So he went out and he evicted him. It's like in these storage wars. You know, you open it up so they didn't pay the rent, and then you could, auction it off, whatever. He didn't even auction this off. He just got in there. Nehemiah got in there and evicted him. Evicted all that stuff, threw it out. Grieved me bitterly because of that what was taking place. So I commanded them to cleanse the rooms, and I brought back into them the articles of the house of God with the grain offering and the frankincense. And we know from the other verses it was including the tithes and the offerings. Then look at verse 11. So I contended with the rulers, and I said, "Why is the house of God forsaken?" I gathered them together and set them in their place, and all Judah brought the tithe of the grain and the new wine the oil to the storehouse, and I appointed as treasurers over the storehouse Shalima the priest, Zadok the scribe, the Levites, Pedaiah, next to him was Hanan and the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, for they were considered faithful, and their task was to distribute their bread to the brethren. So Eliashib was gone from that responsibility, and Nehemiah appointed faithful people, faithful men, Levites, to oversee those storehouses so they would never again be lent out to someone for their own personal use. And so that storehouse, what was in the storehouse, could be then distributed to the priests and the Levites who did the work of God there in the temple. So they received their substance from the tithes and the offerings. And in a similar way today, the tithes and offerings are sent to the church. And the church then pays and supports those who are doing the work of God, those who are involved in the ministry and those who are involved in the administration within the church. And we see this as a principle in 1 Corinthians 9. Let's look at the principle, 1 Corinthians 9. And in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9, "For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it the oxen that God is concerned about?" No. This is yet altogether for our sakes. Well, for our sakes, no doubt, this is written. For our sakes. And we continue that he who plows should plow in hope. He who threshes in hope should be partaker of this hope. If we've sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? Notice verse 13. "Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple? Those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." And so as we bring in the tithes in this day and age and are sent into the storehouse, that money is then distributed for the work of the church, to do the work of God. So that's where we ought to be thinking. Are our tithes going into the storehouse where they then are used for the work of the church? That's one thing to consider there from Malachi. And that is important to consider because some people have the idea, well, I'll just give my tithe to this needy person. It's not wrong to help a needy person, but remember the tithe is God's tithe, the first tithe that goes to the work. So where is that money, those tithes going? Like I said, in this day and age, it is to the storehouse, and we should be bringing them into the storehouse so they could be used for the work of the church. Now, when we refer back to Malachi, it says, God says, try me now. Try me. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Interesting statement. You don't find this in any of the other commands. You don't find it in the Sabbath command. You don't find it in the holy day commands. You find it in this command. Try me. What does that mean? The Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary says this. Prove me now. Prove me now with this. By doing so, test me. God is saying, test me, whether I will keep my promise of blessing on you on condition of doing your part. This is within the commentary. And then the commentary quotes what happened with Hezekiah as an example. It'd be good to look at this. 2 Chronicles 31. Again, this is from a commentary. And this example is, again, very, very interesting when we see what happened with Hezekiah, who was a righteous king. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 6. The children of Israel and Judah who dwelt in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of the oxen and the sheep and the tithe of the holy things that were consecrated to the Lord their God and laid them in heaps. In the third month, they began laying them in heaps. They finished in the seventh month. Third month, what happens in the third month? Pentecost, the beginning of that, actually the end of the barley season, and then seventh month, end of the fall harvest. So within that harvest period from those 3 months, they were bringing in all of their tithes and their offerings. And when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. Where did they all come from? And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we've had enough to eat and have plenty left. For the Lord has blessed his people. And what is left is this great abundance. What's interesting there is that this priest was of the house of Zadok. The house of Zadok was very loyal to God and to his laws, God's laws. And you found later, as we saw in Nehemiah, once again, there was a descendant of Zadok who was going to be taking over the storehouse and watching to make sure that what was in the storehouse was distributed properly. So this is what was occurring there. Notice verse 21. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart, so he prospered. Hezekiah and Israel, Judah at that time, were prospering because they were obeying God. They were obeying God and doing his will. Matthew Poole's commentary says this about Malachi 3 in verse 10. It says, prove me now herewith, make the experiment. Make the experiment. And so, the commentary goes on to say the prophet does, in the name of God, offer to put it to a short trial. This is a short trial. Doing your duty, try whether I do it. by doing your duty, try whether I will not make good my promise and give you a blessing instead of a curse. God is saying, I'm offering you a challenge. This is what I want you to do. Try me. Prove what I'm saying here. So we are asked by God's inspiration here to prove this to ourselves. We're told to try it. While we lived here in Ohio, we had a neighbor lady next door to us, and she came over one day and got into a conversation. She just said, you know, I just started to tithe. It was amazing that she knew I was a minister, but she said, I started to tithe. And she said, I got to tell you, I've been blessed since tithing. And just out of the clear blue sky, she said it was an amazing thing to look at. Someone who wasn't even in the church. And so she began to see that that was very true for her. What are the blessings that are really mentioned in Malachi? First one is not money. It's not gold. It's not silver. That's what many of us think about. Well, that's got to be the blessing. What does it say? That the windows of heaven are opened up. That's the first blessing, that the windows of heaven are opened up. So what does that mean? What results from the windows of heaven opening up? I'm sure you could all think about that as we turn to Genesis 7. You know what comes when the windows of heaven are opened up? Rain. Rain. Here we find the discourse of Noah's flood. 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. And it rained on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now we know that God has promised through showing us the rainbow, every time we see the rainbow, that a worldwide flood will not occur again. But rain in its due season is truly a blessing. Ask any farmer, and they'll mention that they look for the rain to come for their fields. You know, the produce that is growing in their fields. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26 are the blessings and the cursings chapter. And in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2, this is what God says to Israel. To all people, actually, it shall come to pass, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments that I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then notice one of those blessings is in verse 12. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain in your land in its season, to bless the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. We don't live too far off the Mississippi River. And every time we cross that river, I mean, you have barges after barges after barges of all this grain from the Midwest flowing down the Mississippi to go out to port to other nations. We are still the breadbasket of the world. And then you have barges coming up north with all the manufacturing goods for the northern part of the central U.S. And so it is a tremendous blessing that God has given to us of rain in its due season. And even though we had some drought earlier, or maybe too much, that was it, where we had too much rain and farmers couldn't get into the fields, yet they were able to plant and still were able to have a very nice harvest this past year. There was a member in the church who farmed, And in this particular year that he was farming, there was a very severe drought in the state. And he didn't know how he would exist and how he would how his crops would work. But rain fell on his farm. It did not fall on the neighbor's farm. It did not fall around anywhere else on his farm. Cloud would come by, rain would come. So God was watching over him. What was his blessing? The windows of heaven were opened. His blessing was rain. Rain in due season. Now notice something else when the windows of heaven are opened. Psalm 78. We may not have thought about this in Psalm 78. It's an interesting psalm about all that took place during Israel and when they were in the wilderness, but especially verse 23 now. Yet he commanded the clouds above, Psalm 78:23, and he opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna on them to eat, and gave them the bread of heaven. Came out of the doors of heaven, the windows of heaven, you could say, were opened, and what rained? Bread. Men ate angels' food. Now, angels are spirit, and yet we see this is what they eat. And he sent them food to the full. So, look at verse 26. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings, and they ate, and they were filled. And he gave them of their desire. So in this case, the heavens were opened, and not rain, but bread and meat, food. So when God says, try me, I will open up the windows of heaven. It could be rain. It could be food. Have you ever wondered why we ask God in a prayer before our meal? Well, we call it the blessing of the meal, but actually God's blessed us with the food. We're thanking God for the blessing. We're thanking God that we have food to eat. There are so many people around the world today that don't have what we eat. Think of what we had at Thanksgiving. It's an incredible amount of food that we are able to have in this country. You know, when we have the ministerial conferences and some ministers come in from overseas that have not been in this country, especially in the African nations, they are amazed at how much food is available at the grocery stores that can be bought. They're at the grocery stores. And it's just an amazing thing how much food we have available from all over the country. All over the country. Years ago, my dad told me this story that my grandfather was one of Al Capone's painting contractors, and that one time he sat with he went and saw Al Capone at dinner, and they had watermelon, and it was during December. And this was back in the 30s, early 30s or something like this. Whoever heard of watermelon? But see, they were trucking them up from Florida. Now you can have watermelon all year long at these stores. And you have grapes coming from Chile. You have all this food, the abundance of food. So when God says, I will open the storehouse of heaven, or the windows of heaven, I will open up the windows of heaven, it can be food. It can be all kinds of food. We are blessed We're blessed. So we ask a prayer. We ask God in a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you for the blessings of this food. Thank you for the nourishment that we are able to receive from the food you have blessed us with. That is one of the blessings that come because of God's mercy upon us, because God is saying, try me. See if I won't do that. So realize that, yeah, our food, what we're eating, is truly a blessing that comes, let's put it all together, from tithing. We're tithing. God says, I will do that. Talking about food, let's look at this one story over here. Over here in 2 Kings 7. 2 Kings 7. You know, 1 Kings have so many fascinating stories about what took place with the kings of Israel. And here we come to 2 Kings 7, where let's look at the background here. In 2 Kings 6, verse 25, there was a great famine in Samaria. And indeed, they besieged it. Those from Syria were surrounding Samaria, and a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cob of dove droppings for 5 shekels. Food was so scarce that they were selling donkey heads and dove droppings for people to eat, and they were paying all this money for it. And, of course, they're eating all this unclean stuff. But so we've come to Elisha giving a prophecy here in chapter 1. Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour, a seah here is about 8 gallons, a fine flour will only be sold for a shekel. And 2 seahs, or 16 gallons of barley for only a shekel, at the gate of Samaria. In other words, there will be so much food. You won't have to pay hardly anything for all this food that will be available. Lots and lots of food. And then in this case, all clean food. All these grains, not donkeys or pigeon stuff. Okay, verse 2. One did not believe. An officer on whose hand the king leaned, it's a high official, answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make the windows up in heaven, if he would do this, could this thing be? If God opened all the windows of heaven, how could this be? Could this happen? So Elisha said, in fact, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it. So that was a prophecy of what was going to happen. Big, big mistake. We cannot limit God. God can do anything. He can give more than just from the windows of heaven, and he can do it in such a way that they can come down from the windows of heaven. He can work everything out in his own way, even greater blessings. So we see the story, verse 3. Look at verse 3. There were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, we'll enter the city, the famine's in the city. We'll die there. If we sit here, we'll die also. So let's go surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, great, we'll live. If they kill us, well, we're going to die anyway. So they had this fatalistic approach. Let's just surrender. At least we might be able to eat. So they rose at twilight, you know, just as it's getting dark. And they go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, nobody was there. Remember, they're all being surrounded by this army. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians, to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left their camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled with their lives. So when the lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, They went into one tent. They ate. They drank. They carried from it silver and gold and clothing. Remember, they were only wanting to go get something to eat. Then they found all this. One wonders about these armies in the past and how much they brought with them. They brought all their food and their animals, their clothing and gold and silver. And they went and hid them. And they came back and entered another camp, another tent. And they carried some of that there and went and hid it. I mean, these guys were doing quite well for what they came across. And they said to one another, "We're not doing right. This is not good. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, let's go and tell the king's household. Let's spread this good news." So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city, and they told them, "We went to the Syrian camp, and surprising, nobody was there, not a human sound." The gatekeepers, verse 11, called out and told it to the king's household inside. So the king's household heard it, but they thought it might be a trap. So they sent out a search party to see if this was true. Verse 14, they took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army and said, "Go see." They went after them into Jordan. Indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. The messengers returned and told the king. The people, in verse 16 then, it was true. Syrians had left. The people then heard about it, went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So true, a say of fine flour, about 8 gallons, was sold for a shekel. And 16 gallons of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. It happened. What happened to the officer? Verse 17, the king who had appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, the people trampled him in the gate and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. And it happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king. So the point is that you cannot limit God. In this case, the guy who said, "Even if God could open the windows of heaven, could he bring about this?" Well, look at how God opened the windows of heaven. In this case, God gave the city of Samaria all of the food and gold and silver and wealth. It was all in those tents, and they were able to have that for themselves. We can't limit God. So the blessings that come from the windows of heaven can be rain, it can be food, it can be other items as well, including in this case, wealth. King David made a very important point in Psalm 37. Let's look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and let's start in verse 25. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. In all the years I've been in the church, I've never seen members having to beg for food. And we came in the church in 1958 in Chicago, and all since that time, over 60-some years, I've never seen members begging for food out on the street corner. Just never has happened. Now, not everyone had a lot of food at times. We didn't. We didn't have a lot of food at times, but we got through. I don't know how we were able to do it, but we were able to do it at times. And we had a lot of beans and hot dogs at times, and that was about it for some of the meals. But no one ever had to beg. Now, there were people who were in severe financial straits, and I know that, but God always somehow provided. He always did. And I've seen that happen more and more. But there are even more benefits than just the physical that come by obeying God, and that by bringing in our tithes and offerings. And let's look at that in Psalm 96. Psalm 96, verse 7. Psalm 96 and verse 7. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Psalm 96, verse 8 now. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. David was bringing out the fact that tithing and giving offerings is a part of our worship of God. We know the command to do so. We know God requires and commands us to give the offering. But we can't forget that this giving of an offering and of a tithe is our personal worship of God. When that check comes in or when that cash comes in, what is the first thing we do with it? Is it to pay the bills? Or is the first thing, the first check I write is going to be my first tithe? And then, of course, we need to keep the feast, so there's the second tithe. That should be our first decision we make with the money that comes in. And then we wait for God's blessings that He said He would give us. Our part of our worship of God involves this tithing and giving of offerings. And this is one area where we cannot cut back on worshiping of God. In this day and age where people are becoming so much involved in debt and credit card debt, and it's easy to get into, sometimes we got to take a step back and look at our priorities. And God says, these are our priorities. So no matter how far in debt we are, we've got to tithe. And God gives us hope. The man who I mentioned earlier at the beginning, who quit tithing, got so far into debt even after he stopped tithing. He told us one day, he said, you know, I made a dumb mistake. I should not have quit tithing. And so he said, I got to start tithing. And he did. And guess what happened to his debt? It started to go down. Didn't go up. It started to go down. And he was able to manage it much better. You know, David also wrote a number of various blessings as well that come from God. Notice Psalm 103. Psalm 103. The Sansino commentary, which is a Jewish commentary about on the Psalms here. Usually they have commentaries for all the Old Testament books, but this particular psalm is titled A Hymn of Praise. A Hymn of Praise. It's a very encouraging psalm as it points out the benefits that come from God. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of His benefits. Who forgives your iniquities, He heals your diseases, He redeems your life from destruction, He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So He satisfies our mouth with all these good things. Look at all the things He does for us here. I mean, He forgives our sins. He heals us. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with mercy. And our youth can be renewed like an eagle's. An eagle in the wild can live up to 50 years. or even more. So God is there to bless us. And notice verse 11. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. We heard about that earlier, too, about the need to fear and honor God. Allow God's Spirit to flow through us. We're building these layers, not only of, let's say, God's Holy Spirit within us, but layer and layer and layer of blessings that come from God. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions from us. These are positive things to consider. As high as the heavens are above the earth, the San Sino says this is an immeasurable distance. How do you measure it? It's immeasurable. So great is his mercy. Great. In Hebrew, it can refer to, it's beyond measure. It's beyond description. So very far has removed from us our sins. These are all spiritual blessings. Let's look at more of these blessings that come. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3, these are the spiritual blessings as well. And think about these particular blessings. Ephesians 1, verse 3, and they come in great abundance. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So he's blessed us with these heavenly blessings. Okay? The windows of heaven are open. These are heavenly blessings that come from God upon us. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Think of our calling to be chosen by God. That is a major blessing. The blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, to be called by God. Years ago, took the family to SeaWorld one day, and I remember this vividly because I was thinking about that there was a prize that was going to be offered to someone who got the lucky ticket. You know, you kept your receipt of your ticket, and they would have a prize available. And I started looking out at all these thousands of people, and it was a big day that day, and it was really crowded. All these thousands of people, how am I going to get that particular prize? I didn't. I never got it. But I was thinking about something else as well. Well, I thought about that. I thought, as far as I know, from all that I'm seeing of all the people here, we are the only family here that's been called by God. I began to think that is incredible. All those people. Now, there may have been others there that I did not know or see or meet there, but I thought, unbelievable. Do we ever think of that? When God says, I will open for you the windows of heaven. Try me now. Do you ever think and thank God for the fact that he called us? He called my parents. I don't know. You know, he called my parents. My dad heard Mr. Armstrong back in 1942-43. And then my mom was Jewish, and then she accepted Jesus Christ, and then she said, we've got to find a church that keeps the Sabbath. And then my dad said, well, I remember this old man speaking on the radio. He wasn't old at that time. Mr. Armstrong was young, but he was a young man at that time. We got to find him on the radio. So WLS, 1957, we started hearing Herbert Armstrong on the radio, and then came into the church. If it weren't for my parents calling, I don't know where I'd be. I'm grateful for my parents' calling because I was able to be in the church. How thankful are we of this particular blessing that we were called? That's one of the blessings from the windows of heaven. Verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. It's all about his plan. You look around, and especially when you go to the malls, and you see people just striving after getting all these gifts for a holiday that they don't even know whether they really want to give this gift to this person or whatever. And what purpose do they have? Why are they living? What? And then you begin to think, we've got purpose. We have an understanding of the truth of God that is phenomenal. We have the knowledge of his coming kingdom. We heard that during the feast. These are all spiritual blessings. Tremendous plan. Verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, to be in his kingdom, an inheritance in his kingdom. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And again, as we heard in the sermonette, that God, what God has given to us through the Holy Spirit, and we have wisdom, we have the knowledge of him, and that should begin to flow through us. And I know we've heard these before. I know that, yes, you know, intellectually, we all know it. But to spend time sometime to just think of all these spiritual blessings that we have been given. When the windows of heaven are open, it can include rain. It can include food. It can include other things, like we saw wealth. It can include all the benefits that David mentioned and all the spiritual blessings that Paul mentions. It might be a good exercise sometime to get a piece of paper and put down along the edge of the paper 1 through 30 or 1 through 31 and put down for every day a spiritual blessing that you receive that day and a physical blessing that you receive that day. And tie it in with, see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you. And it's kind of interesting to do that. I've done it a couple times, and just, you know, it does help you review a month. And so like tomorrow, December 1st, or like yesterday, even think of yesterday. I think of yesterday, of Friday night when it came. Oh, what a wonderful blessing to know what Friday night means. Everybody else is all going out all over the place. They have, you know, all looking for, you know, which sports bar am I going to go to or whatever. And we have the Sabbath, the beginning of the Sabbath, where we can relax and we could put away all of our work stuff and just focus on the fact that this is God's day and we can enjoy God's day. Are we thankful when that sunset comes, or are we kind of dreading it? What am I going to do? We shouldn't even be thinking about, what am I going to do? It's a day of enjoyment and relaxation. I mean, sermons can be given on that, and they have been given on that. You know, you think about, so I was thinking about that last night. You know, how grateful we are for the Sabbath. And then, okay, what about a physical blessing? I know that somebody in here, a couple people in here, found out that turkeys were on sale for 39 cents a pound and got some of the last few turkeys that were available. So, hey, that's a pretty good deal. But my kids have been bugging me and saying, Dad, you need to go get some jeans. And I say, no, come on. I hate going shopping, and it's too much money. And, yeah, Dad, you need to dress down sometimes. You just need to get some better jeans. You better get some. Look, kids, I'm 70 years old. I don't need jeans anymore. I don't need to get dressed down like that. Oh, Dad, so anyway, I found some. yesterday amongst the Black Friday shoppers and got them on sale for $30. Not only that, when I went to check out, they were on clearance and got them for just $9. That is a blessing to me, because I'm Jewish, and so, you know, that even makes it even better. So $9, even the clerk was surprised. How did you get this? I don't know. But you do that sometime, to write it down or to focus on it, and you begin to see these windows of heaven have opened up many, many more times than we can ever imagine. Let's go back to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. And we see some national blessings as well that would occur if the nation would follow these admonitions here. Malachi 3. And let's look at verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. He's saying if the whole nation would honor me, God is saying, there would not be crop failures. There would be a great amount of produce, and all nations will call that nation blessed. It's a delightful land. And this nation is still being blessed. It still is. Now, how long that will last, only God will know. But we should be able to be thankful for it and take advantage of those blessings as we have them. Notice some of the attitudes, though, of some in the time of the end. Verse 13. And God is saying, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. And then he says, and a question, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? And you have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? That, unfortunately, was the attitude of one person. What profit is it? I've been doing this for years. I've been tithing for years. I've been obeying you for years. And look, where are my blessings? And it was like this attitude of, it's useless to serve God. There's no profit in it. Why are we doing this? And so, as I mentioned, we did discuss this issue a lot. And thankfully, his attitude changed. And he began to see there were a lot more blessings that he did receive and continue to receive, and that members in the church receive. They do receive them. It shouldn't be we should just are looking for profit. That's the wrong motive. We should want to obey God because these are his laws and his commands. And it is a personal way to worship him. Then look, during these times, and we're seeing we're talking about the time of the end, verse 16, 17. Because we're talking about, like it says in verse 17 and 18, when you will discern, well, actually in verse 3, I will be sending my messenger before me. So this is what we're talking about in the end times. Well, anyway, these are the end times. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. The Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditate on his name. So we're to talk to one another. We are to encourage one another. Because how many of us in the future may suffer from financial problems, and we're going to need each other's help. We're going to need each other's encouragement. And we're going to need to be able to stand firm in our beliefs, that we will still tithe. We will still tithe. You know, all these blessings that God has given to us, hopefully they are layering upon layer, that we can have absolute faith that God will carry us through. And he will. But we need to encourage each other. And there's one other thing. Verse 17, "They'll be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." We pray that God's kingdom will come. And we also pray that we be worthy to escape the things that are prophesied to come. One other blessing we see, and this is all in the context of giving of tithes and offerings, ever since verse 8 all the way through down here to verse 18, this is all in the context that God says a blessing is that we will be spared if we remain loyal to him. And we do pray for that protection. So the next time we give our tithes and offerings, which we should be preparing for our holy day offerings all year long, especially our tithes when we get paid, always remember that it is an act of worshiping our great God. And God is telling us, look, I will. Test me. Prove me. I will open the windows of heaven. And so we can look forward to receiving any number of blessings that God has promised that we've seen here today.